Our second case this morning is Key Outdoor against the City of Galesburg.
May it please the
court.
I'm sorry. May it please the court and the council. My name is John Wren. I represent Key Outdoor and Bob Dahl. Key Outdoor and Bob Dahl filed a suit against the City of Galesburg in state court. That case was removed to federal court. The defendants moved to dismiss, and part of the order of dismissal is the subject of the appeal today. Key is in the outdoor advertising business. They are in the billboard business. Robert Dahl owns some property where some of these billboards are located. Key owns 33 billboards in the City of Galesburg. When they built or bought all these billboards, they complied with the city code. In 1996, the City of Galesburg enacted an ordinance that changed the rules in regard to billboards in the City of Galesburg. It adjusted the rules for spacing of billboards. It adjusted the rules for size of billboards.
Mr. Wren, I understand it correctly. You're arguing now only claims based on state law.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Why are we here?
Very good question, Your Honor, except for the state, the federal court dismissed my claims with prejudice in regards to my state law claim.
So why isn't the right thing for you to be saying that these things should be sent back to state court? That, after all, is where you began the suit. And, of course, one of the reasons why you lost your federal takings claim was that the federal judge said you had to finish up the process in the state. I suppose that state processes ought to be finished in the state.
I agree with that. We did file the motion to remand. The thing is, it does, the court has discretion in the issue of the whether it could keep the federal claims
it's
or not.
It's not at all clear that the court has any discretion where the defendant is a state body, or is a state body in light of Pennhurst against Holderman, which neither side has discussed. But Pennhurst against Holderman says that a federal court lacks authority to adjudicate a claim against a public agency under state law.
I apologize, I didn't find that one, Your Honor. We did ask for, in our motion to remand, we asked for the court to find that they, in their discretion, should not exercise supplemental jurisdiction. We also asked for abstention under Pullman, saying that these are state issues which should be resolved in the state court, but that was denied. I think in the city's brief, they indicate that that's something that we've waived at this time, and that there is case law, the cases that the city actually rely on that say the court can sua sponte bring up the Pullman abstention doctrine as to whether this
stuff. Abstention is a doctrine that applies when somebody sues in federal court but should have sued in state court. You should have sued in state court, and you did.
We did, Your Honor, and we wanted to get back there also. But we were unable to, and in addition to that, the court then sent us back to state court but took away all our teeth or all our remedies in regards to, well, three of the four possible remedies, I guess, and we're trying to preserve those remedies. And I think that if we went to state court right now based on the trial court's order without appealing them, we'd be barred from pursuing them. So that's why we're here, and that's why we appealed the state law claims. Does that answer your question? Okay. The 96 ordinance, as we said, changed all of the signs from, not all, 28 of the 33 signs were made non-conforming by the 96 ordinance. The 96 ordinance did include a grandfather clause which allowed these signs to be there. However, in 1999, the city enacted another ordinance, and that ordinance made all these signs to come into compliance by the year 2009. We filed an 8-count complaint. Two of them were constitutional counts under 1983. We have not appealed any of the constitutional stuff, as the court has already noted. All we're appealing is the state law claims. The first and fifth count ask that the ordinance be found invalid due to its conflict with the Illinois Eminent Domain Statute. The Eminent Domain Statute was amended in 1993 to specifically provide that when a city enacts an ordinance that requires signs to be altered or removed, the owners of the billboards, though the owners of the property where the billboards are located, are entitled to compensation under the Articles of the Eminent Domain, part of the Civil Code. The Eminent Domain part of the Civil Code contemplates cash compensation They define value as money, and then cases underneath eminent domain statute also provide that the fair cash value should be paid for property that's taken under eminent domain. The history of this kind of law, the ordinance admittedly does not use the term amortization in it. However, there's a body of law out there that deals with the taking of property by city governments where they allow the people to keep their property or keep using their property in a particular way for a period of time, and those have been considered grace period or amortization ordinances. The city calls it an amortization ordinance in their motion to dismiss. They also continue to call it an amortization ordinance in their brief. They characterize it as an amortization clause, and they say ultimately if we get to the merits of this case, we're going to have problems because of case law, and they cite a case out of Skokie, which provides that amortization is just compensation. The city continues to argue this is an amortization clause, and the eminent domain statute prohibits cities from providing for amortization as payment for billboards. And that's why we find that they're invalid, and that's why we ask that the decision on counts 1 and 5 that asks for invalidity due to the conflict, we think we do state a valid claim, and that decision should be reversed. Alternatively, sticking with the eminent domain statute, if that is a valid ordinance, then my clients are entitled to relief under the eminent domain statute under the language that I just cited that was inserted in the statute in 1993. The state or the city does not address the language in the ordinance or in the statute. Instead, they cite a couple of cases. One is Luperini and one is Patzner, for the proposition that you need a physical invasion of the property. Those cases are legally distinguishable, one, because the types of takings that were addressed in Luperini and Patzner were not specifically provided for by the state legislators as being something that should be compensated under the eminent domain statute. Additionally, they're factually distinguishable. In Luperini and Patzner, they dealt with temporary or consequential damages. Here we have direct damages. They're trying to take away my client's signs, and they're not temporary. You can't have signs within these locations of residential zoning or within these locations within other signs. They just cannot have signs in the property. So they're factually distinguishable, and it's distinguishable because the statute specifically answers the question the court was asking in Luperini and Patzner, which is, should we apply eminent domain in this circumstance? The other basis of our appeal is the court's dismissal of the claims that the ordinance is invalid due to its conflict with the Highway Advertising Control Act. The Highway Advertising Control Act is a state law enacted after the federal government enacted the National Highway Beautification Act. The National Highway Beautification Act requires states to effectively control billboards along corridors which are within 660 feet of federal aid primary routes. Some of the signs that are the subject of this suit are along federal aid primary routes. The statute requires effective control, and it also requires that you pay just compensation when signs are removed that are in this corridor. The Galesburg Ordinance does not provide for compensation and is inconsistent with effective control. The Highway Advertising Control Act was enacted with the purpose in mind of maximizing federal funds. The National Highway Beautification Act provides that if there is no effective control, then the city or the state would be penalized and lose 10% of the federal highway funds for that state. The ordinance at issue jeopardizes 10% of the state's highway funds. The city does not dispute that the primary purpose of the act, of the Highway Advertising Control Act, is to maximize federal highway funds. Instead, they argue that because they're a home rule entity and because the Highway Advertising Control Act does not specifically limit the powers of home rule entities, they can exercise this power and they can require the signs to be removed without paying compensation. The problem with that argument is the case that they rely on, Skadron, explains why that concept does not work in this case. Skadron addressed whether the city, I think it was De Plains, could prohibit somebody from installing a billboard in a particular location in a particular design. And this court actually sent the case to the Illinois State Court, Illinois State Supreme Court, on some issues in regards to preemption. That dealt with the regulation of location of signs. It did not deal with the failure to pay cash compensation. And the Highway Advertising Control Act and the National Highway Beautification Act treat the ability to regulate and the ability to pay compensation differently. They require the states to pay just compensation, but they also expressly allow states to allow to provide for stricter regulation of the signs. And that's what separates this factually from the what was happening in Skadden. But in Skadden, the court recognized, the city in that case made the same arguments that the city of Galesburg does here. Well, the ordinance doesn't say home rule in it, and it doesn't specifically prevent home rule powers on this issue, from exercising, I guess, its power on this issue. The court did not stop there, though. It looked and said, well, is there a vital state policy? An ordinance can still be found invalid even though it does not specific, even though a statute does not specifically say it addresses or restricts home rule powers, if an ordinance conflicts with the vital state policy. In Skadden, they found that the preservation of the 10% highway funds was a vital state policy. However, in Skadden, the plaintiffs in that case could not point to any case that showed how the restrictions on the size and location of the sign, the one that hadn't been built yet that the plaintiffs were trying to put into place, how those restrictions would affect the 10%. In this case, we've cited two cases, one out of Vermont and one out of Fort Collins, Colorado, that explain how the failure to provide the compensation would affect the state's ability to receive the 10% because they're not providing effective control. And that's how we're factually distinguished from Skadden. We have what Skadden didn't. We do have a vital state interest, and we have a showing as to an explanation, as to how that 10% would be lost under the facts of this case. And I'll reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Friedman.
Good morning, counsel. If it pleases the court, there are substantively three claims that are before this court. One is under the Highway Advertising Control Act in Illinois. The second is under the Eminent Domain Section 7-101. And the third is the mandamus count. And I'd like to start with the mandamus count.
Why not start with the question whether there is anything before us?
I think the case is properly before this court because of the complaint the plaintiffs filed. The complaint that they filed interspersed.
It was filed in state court. You removed it. All the federal questions are gone. And, of course, under Pennhurst, federal courts are not supposed to be resolving issues of state law in suits against units of state government.
I think that it is true, and then that may be the holding of that case. But I believe under the general supplemental jurisdiction rules of the U.S. Code, the district court has...
Pennhurst says the general supplemental jurisdiction provisions don't apply to claims against governmental bodies.
If those claims don't apply, then the plaintiffs have not raised the issue. They raised it once. The district court considered the issue and rejected the recommendations of the magistrate to remand or abstain.
No, more of the point, one would think, the city would be free to waive its immunity under Pennhurst, as states can waive their 11th Amendment immunity in federal court.
The states can waive the immunity. I'm not sure a local municipality has the authority to waive that on behalf of the state.
I think you can't waive it on behalf of somebody else. You can waive it on behalf of you.
I believe that's the case, although under the Illinois Local Government Immunity Act, I believe that preempts home rule authority. So I think that the immunity or lack thereof under Illinois law would be governed by that act. And you're right, there are cases where they can do that. I'm not sure they can do it in all cases. On the mandamus count, which is count, the third count, which they argue is the count that you should consider if you find that the ordinance is otherwise valid. There is, under Illinois law, clear authority that unless there is a physical invasion of property, mandamus cannot be granted or should not be granted. And that, it seems to me plainly clear from the statute and takings in general. The Illinois Constitution allows compensation if there's a taking or damage to private property. Taking is obviously if it's appropriated for public use by the government, the title is taken. Damage is in the cases that we cited where the government has done something that so interferes with the property that it basically takes the property away even though it doesn't give the title to the state. And the court has said in those cases that that is the case where the damage case where mandamus can be ordered. But we don't have that here. We have the mere regulation, adoption of the sign regulation. And it's clear that that is not a case for which mandamus can or should be ordered. And the plaintiffs have cited no cases. We know of no cases where the adoption of a zoning ordinance such as that has been ordered, a municipality who adopted that was ordered to institute eminent domain procedures. Secondly, the claim under Section 7101, that language that cannot be ignored is that the plaintiffs are right. It does specifically refer to signs, and it does specifically say that just compensation can be provided when signs are removed pursuant to a local ordinance. However, there's language that the plaintiffs have not acknowledged that says that the compensation allowed under that statute is only as provided in the article. And the only compensation, right to compensation under the article is if property has been taken or physically damaged, neither of which is the case here. So there is no right to just compensation under the article in this case, and therefore that statute is not inconsistent with our ordinance or the facts of this case. It's easy to envision a situation where that would be the case if the town, in, for example, in the Drury case, where the town instituted eminent domain litigation, sought to acquire title to the property, and clearly that was a situation where there was a taking and just compensation was required. Finally, on the issue of the Highway Advertising Control Act, the Skadron case went very, very far. It's a case that you certified to the Illinois Supreme Court. And the Illinois Supreme Court ruled that a home rule municipality was not preempted from adopting regulations that were more strict than the Beautification Act, the Federal Beautification Act, or the Local Highway Act, or the Illinois Highway Act. It was the court specifically rejected the argument that by allowing local governments to be more restrictive, it would threaten the 10% federal, or the 10% federal money that is alleged to be in jeopardy here if our ordinance is left in place. So there is no conflict there. The Illinois Act, in fact, if you look closely at it, there's no specific provision in that act that requires local governments to pay compensation. It just doesn't exist in that act. And the law is that in order to preempt a home rule municipality, which the Skadron Court found, it has to be expressly provided in the statute. There's nothing in that statute that expressly limits local governments with regard to compensation. But more specifically, Section 9 of that act states that when the department seeks, the Department of Transportation seeks to take property because, or take signs, or property on which signs are located because they don't comply with the Illinois State Act specific regulations for signs, the department has the authority to condemn the property, and the only just compensation that's allowed is just compensation that's allowed for signs that are removed pursuant to the Illinois Act. And the signs at issue in this case are not, or have not alleged to have been, out of compliance with the State Act. These signs, if they are removed at the end of the 10-year period, will be removed pursuant to our local home rule ordinance. And there's nothing in the Illinois State Act that that prohibits or that makes inconsistent or that preempts the local government from making that kind of provision without including in its own ordinance a separate compensation provision. The requirement is not there. Another point in our general point has been that The plaintiffs are not without a remedy in this case. They did file a complaint that had counts that aren't cognizable under state or federal law at this time. But this is nothing more, if it is anything, than an inverse condemnation action for regulatory taking if the plaintiffs can show that a regulatory taking has in fact occurred. That's the correct action, or an action for common law damages if their property or signs have been damaged, although we think they may be limited in that regard because there's no physical damage. But those are the correct types. Or they could have appealed under the Illinois Administrative Act the variance denials. And in that act, they could have raised all constitutional actions that they had. But they didn't. They filed to invalidate the city's ordinance for conflicts that don't exist and for a compensation requirement that the city, under state law or federal law, is not required to provide. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Friedman. Anything further?
As far as Pennhurst, and I once again apologize that I'm not familiar with that case, but we were stuck in a position where our state law claims for invalidation of this ordinance and our request for mandamus were dismissed with prejudice. The only way that we thought that we could follow up on that, because we think that's an incorrect ruling. I think this is an amortization ordinance, and I think that the law is clear that there should not be an amortization ordinance under its conflict with the eminent domain statute and the Highway Advertising Control Act. And if we went to state court, we would be, without appealing this decision, we would be stuck with the federal court's ruling, which I'm sure the city would say is the final ruling. The only place that we can go when the district court made its decision is to this court. As far as if this court, and I don't understand the Pennhurst ruling, but if this court does not have jurisdiction to hear this appeal, I don't know where we can appeal this decision, and then we're stuck with the ruling, which once again dismisses us with prejudice on our state law claims. As far as the statute, the eminent domain statute doesn't say that my clients are entitled to compensation when signs are removed. It says that they're entitled to compensation when the city enacts an ordinance, that when they're required to be altered or removed, or compelled to be altered or removed by the enactment of a city ordinance. That's exactly what we have in this case. This case falls clearly under the eminent domain statute, and my clients are entitled to relief under the eminent domain statute. The writ of mandamus simply asks the court to compel the city to institute eminent domain proceedings, which they're required to do because it falls under the statute. As far as the Highway Advertising Control Act, it is clear that that statute is enacted to maximize the federal funding. It's also clear that the failure to pay the just compensation will result in the risk of losing 10% of the federal highway funding, which is direct contradiction of the purpose of the Highway Advertising Control Act. At this time, we'd ask that you reverse the decision on the issues that we've addressed in our brief. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement.